Welcome to the Fit 40 podcast, where we take all the confusing, conflicting fitness and nutrition information and break it down so that you can live your healthiest, strongest, most energized life. I'm your host, Brian Fitzsimmons. Let's get it started. All right, how to track macros for beginners. Okay, so what we're going to cover today, we're going to be talking about what macros are, what the most important focuses should be, how to track, and how to avoid the common mistakes that so many people struggle with. So let's start off by defining what the heck macros are. Okay, macronutrients are nutrients that humans consume in large quantities, usually in the form of protein, carbs, and fats, and also an honorable mention, alcohol. Okay, they provide energy, which is calories, to maintain the body structure and systems. Okay, so basically these are the nutrients that contain calories for the most part and what you really need to be focusing on for this. Okay, so what are macros? So when it comes to the macros, the protein, carbs, fats, alcohol, we want to make sure that we understand protein contains about 4 calories per gram. Now, recently studies have shown that it's actually less than 4 calories. It's like 3 point something, but when you read nutrition labels, it's going to be going by 4 calories per gram. And honestly, it's close enough and it's going to get us in the right direction. People have been counting macros, assuming that it's proteins 4 calories per gram and have gotten incredible results. So let's not complicate it. Okay. So 4 calories per gram on protein. Carbs are also 4 calories per gram. Fats are 9 calories per gram and alcohol is 7 calories per gram. Now, reason I lay this out is because especially with the fats, people are like, I feel like I'm not eating that much, but I'm gaining weight. Okay. If your diet consists of a lot of fat, and that comes from eating out a lot or being really liberal with olive oil and things like that, that you're cooking in. All right. This stuff can add up and it can make it feel like you're not eating that much, but you're actually taking in a ton of calories. Now, how many of each do we want? So when it comes to protein, we want about 0.7 to 1 gram per pound of lean body mass. Okay. So let's say you're 200 pounds, but your lean body mass is 160 pounds. You want to aim for upwards of 160 grams to whatever 160 times 0.7 is. Okay. Somewhere in that range. And then when it comes to fats, we want 20 to 35% of your total calories from fat. We don't want to go super duper low because that'll affect things like hair, skin, nails, hormones, and things like that. And going above that 35%, we're starting to go into like keto area. And then what it does, usually when you go past that 35% mark with your protein in that 0.7 to 1 gram per pound of lean body mass, it doesn't leave that much for carbs. And we want to have a good amount of carbs in there so you can get key nutrients like fiber. Okay, so basically once you have your protein and fats figured out, carbs is whatever is left. So how many calories should we be figuring out? Because these numbers, like the protein obviously is based on your body weight, but the fats and the carbs are based on whatever's your calorie total. So how do we figure out what your calorie total is? Okay, first you want to figure out what your TDEE is, your total daily energy expenditure. And then from there, it goes based on your goal. So if you want to lose weight, take that total daily energy expenditure and subtract 200 to 500 calories from that number. And that's your daily amount of calories to lose weight. Now, if you want to just maintain your weight and work on getting healthier, getting stronger and building muscle and things like that, you would maintain. So you would use that exact total daily energy expenditure number. Now, you can just think of your total daily expenditure as your maintenance number. So if you have a really quote unquote bad night of eating while you're on a diet and it ends up being what your total daily energy expenditure is, then you have nothing to worry about because are you going to be heavier on the scale the next day? Yes. But did you gain any fat? No, because it's going to level out by the end of the week because your average is still going to be lower for the entire week. It's still going to be lower than that total daily energy expenditure number, assuming you get right back on your plan. And now let's say you're the body type that has a really hard time putting on muscle. Sometimes it requires a little bit more than that TDEE number, which would be about 100 to 200 calories. You really don't need a ton of extra calories and doing this crazy bulking phase that a lot of the old school bodybuilders and especially the dudes love to do because it gives them an excuse to eat like shit. Okay, you don't need much to build muscle past that total daily energy expenditure number. So, special note, when it comes to macros, most people only need to focus on calories and protein to see the results that they want, because carbs and fats are going to fluctuate day to day based on your food decisions, and the hyperfixation and anxiety that comes with trying to hit every macro perfectly just isn't worth that minimal benefit. But that being said, some people do respond better to higher carbs, lower fats, or vice versa, lower carbs, higher fats. So assuming that you can hit your daily calories pretty consistently, you get your protein down, and you can do that with ease, then if you want to try out carbs and fats, great. But if you're the type of person that struggles just to track 7 days a week and you're only getting 3 or 4 days of tracking, then one, tracking isn't really serving you any purpose. And two, it's not worth going crazy on fats and carbs because you haven't earned the right to. Now, when it comes to how to track, the best way is by weighing food on the scale to the gram or ounce. Okay. When you're weighing food that needs to be cooked, it's best to weigh it raw or dry. So raw meat or like dry rice and things like that. And when it comes to tracking in general, barcodes are your best friend, because if you can scan it, and when you scan it, it matches the label that is on the box, you are golden. It makes life so, so much easier because you don't have to input every little thing. Okay. So when it comes to tracking, here are the 6 steps, like the basics. First is put your plate or your container or wherever the food's going to go on the scale. And then from there, with it on the scale, you're going to zero out the scale. So on most scales, there's a button, like the power button usually also acts as the zeroing out. So like usually you have to like hold this button to shut it off completely. But if you give it a tap, it hits zero. So just give that button a tap, make sure that the scale reads zero with the plate or container on there. And then you add ingredients one by one. So let's say it was like chicken and rice. You throw your chicken down, see how much it is. Then you log it, and then you zero the scale out. Then you add your rice, log it, zero out the scale, and just keep following that over and over again until you have all of your elements of the meal. Okay, now, assuming it's not a super elaborate recipe, then this should only be like maybe 4 or 5 things at the most. Okay, because you don't have to, as long as something doesn't have calories or like an extreme amount of calories when it comes to spices and things like that, you don't have to put every little thing, because salt, sodium, for example, that's a micronutrient, does not contain calories. So you wouldn't have to put something like salt down. But if you have something like ketchup, and it's like regular ketchup where it's like 30 to 50 calories per serving, that would have to get accounted for. Now, some advanced techniques. Let's say that you want to measure as you're throwing it all into the pan. So something's cooking up and you want to throw some sauce in there. What you would do is take that bottle of sauce and take the cap off or whatever. Make sure that it is how it's going to be when you're squirting it or dumping it in, and put it on the scale. So let's say you got a thing of ketchup. Pop the lid off the ketchup, put it on the scale, and zero out the scale. Then add it into whatever you're adding it in, then put it right back on the scale. And the scale is going to read negative something. Whatever that negative number is how much is no longer in the bottle. So now you know I used this much. And then you do that again and again and again. This works really well if you're adding stuff like last minute and you're like, ooh, I didn't think to put that in. This would be a nice addition. Okay, if you want to just do that and do a little squirt of that. Or another thing too is like when you're using PAM spray, because this is a big one that trips people up, is not accounting for the amount of oil that they're using. When you spray oil or butter or any of that, it's not zero calories like it reads on the label. That's just something that the companies can get away with because of the serving size that they put down, which is usually like a quarter of a second. So let's say you have olive oil or olive oil spray. When you're tracking, put olive oil in the tracker, and then you put the spray can on the scale, spray it, like spray whatever you need to spray, put it back on and see how many you use or how many grams it was or how many ounces it was. And then do that in olive oil. Instead of scanning the spray, just say, what is in this? Like olive oil or avocado oil or butter, whatever, and then track it like that. Okay, that's a little bit more advanced, but can make a big, big difference. Now, some common mistakes that a lot of people make are one, like I mentioned before, raw versus cooked. So when you record things, especially in MyFitnessPal, there's all these individual entries from random people that may or may not be true. So you always want to make sure that there's like the verification check mark, or it's from the USDA or something like that. Now, assuming that you've got a good entry, you want to make sure that it is raw or cooked. A lot of times the entry that you see in the tracker is going to be raw. And if you type in, say, chicken, for example, chicken breast, that will give you a raw measurement. Now, if you type in chicken breast cooked, it will show you cooked options. Now, everybody cooks a little bit differently. The longer something cooks for, the less weight it holds on to because you have cooked out the fluids and everything like that. So depending on how you cook your food, it may be more or less. So that's why cooked isn't exactly a good measurement. But in a pinch, like let's say you're cooking for a big, for a family, and you cook it all up all at once and you're not pre-portioning out your foods, that's totally fine. As long as it's consistent, that's the real key, is to make sure that whatever ingredients you are using and measuring are consistent. So feel free to use the cooked option as long as you use that entry every single time. Next is using measuring cups or guesstimating. The reason I say that you should be using the ounces or grams is because that's the most accurate way to do it. When you do a measuring cup, that could be a lot different on compared to what the actual diary entry is. So let's say you scoop a cup of flour. Did you do it like a loose cup? Did you pack it to the brim? The difference between those two can literally be 100 or 200 calories, depending on how densely you pack it. And then on top of that, whatever that entry is in the diary, in MyFitnessPal or Chronometer, you have no idea what they base that on. So this is why you really can't mess up ounces or grams, because they're so standardized that you know it's what you're getting. And same with guesstimating. This is probably the biggest problem with people who count calories and say, it didn't work for me, or I'm eating 1200 calories and I just can't lose weight. And you ask them, hey, are you weighing your food? And they're like, no, I kind of just know what I'm eating. I'm telling you right now, there are people that have been calorie counting, macro counting for 10, 15, 20 years. And when they take breaks and they just guesstimate, they always, always overestimate, or sorry, underestimate how much they are eating. So they subconsciously eat more, because we're in an environment when it comes to food that is extremely high in calories. And we as humans really suck at guesstimating our intake. They've literally studied people to see how off they were. And it is absurd at how bad we are as humans on guesstimating. So don't fall for that trap. Always rely on a scale. Next is freaking out over one day. Like I mentioned with the TDEE, like if you have one bad day, the beauty of this is that you can get right back on track and still be okay. Because if we're aiming for 500 calories under your TDEE, which would be about a pound of weight loss per week, a pound is about 3,500 calories. So unless you overate by 3,500 calories, you're not going to all of a sudden just see this fat gain or like lose all progress. All right. This provides a lot of perspective on like, oh, how far off am I? And is that even a problem? So you could even take it a step further and say, hey, so I went over by 200 calories on this day. What I'm going to do is just take 100 calories off of tomorrow and 100 calories off of the day after. And my weekly total is still the same. And if the weekly total is where it needs to be, you're on track. That's what they call calorie cycling, when you partition more calories on certain days or less calories on certain days to help you stay consistent with your daily or your weekly calorie goal. Next is the super long recipes without any macro info. Now, this is the biggest pet peeve when it comes to trying to count calories and macros, especially in today's environment where we're all much more health conscious, and you go to some random ass blog and they give you the recipe, they tell you their whole life story, and they tell you about how grandma used to make this so perfectly when they were making their fried green tomatoes and they were swinging on their swing set, and you're learning pretty much everything about them, but then they don't put any freaking macros at the end. They tell you everything that you don't need to know, and then the one thing that can help you out, nope, can't be bothered. So when it comes to finding recipes, make sure that it has information that you can input into the tracker. So I know, for example, like the high protein recipe book that I have in the free resources that I'll put in the show notes here, they all have MyFitnessPal scan codes. So not only do they provide the macro information, you literally can just scan it into MyFitnessPal and you know exactly what you're getting. Find recipes like that if they are elaborate, like really in-depth recipes. I know one person that does this really well is Fit Men Cook. That guy puts out great recipes. I know another one is Stealth Health on Instagram, does really good with that too. So find accounts like that where they provide really, really good recipes that have the macros already measured out for you. Next is not utilizing copy and paste. One of the best functions when it comes to these tracking apps is the copy and paste function. If you eat pretty much the same stuff most of the time, you can go back a day or two, hit copy and paste, and bang, it's already right in there. And assuming you're eating the same portions, you don't have to touch a thing. But if you do eat a little bit more or a little bit less, you could just adjust it right there, but you don't have to go searching for everything, which saves you so much time. Next is logging last minute or later that day after you've already eaten. Because first off, when you log last minute, it's super stressful because you're like, oh my God, what am I eating? And then usually it's lunchtime or breakfast and you're just on the go and you're like, I don't even care. I'm just going to put whatever in. And it's usually not accurate. And it usually results in poor food decisions because we usually get into that headspace of like, I'm in a rush. Screw it. I'm just not even going to bother. And then you go back to do it later that day and you're like, so how much did I have again? And then we're not really getting an accurate judgment of how much we're actually eating. So again, we're defeating the purpose. And then last but not least is ordering out frequently, because even though certain things have calories attached to them, like at chain restaurants, which would be the most ideal situation when you're eating out, trying to count macros and calories, they're not 100% accurate because let's be honest, a lot of the chefs and stuff don't really care about your calories or macros. They care about making it taste delicious. And it, on average, most places, when it comes to their main entrees, are roughly about 1200 calories for each entree. And that's not including dessert or appetizer or anything like that. So if you have an appetizer that's 300-400 calories and you have a dessert that's 300-400 calories and you have that entree and a couple of drinks, that's could be 2,000-3,000 calories in one meal. And if you have a daily target of say 1500 calories, you just ate 2 days worth in one meal. So you want to make sure that when it comes to ordering out, going to restaurants and stuff, it's not super duper frequent. Treat it like a special occasion, like a treat. Okay. It is a convenience and it can help a lot in a pinch, but we don't want to make a habit out of it. And most foods should be prepared by you or should be coming from, like, you could do like a meal prep service that will make this stuff for you. I know Factor is one, Trifecta Meals, Eat Clean Bro. Those are pretty reliable when it comes to the macros because that's what they hang their hat on, saying, listen, these are the macros for these healthy meals. So if you're going to order meals of any kind, those are probably the best. But that being said, try and cook mostly your own food. That way you have the most control. All right. And that's pretty much all I have to say about that in the infamous words of Forrest Gump. So congrats. Now you know everything you need to know to track macros accurately and get some insane results. So thank you guys for tuning in. I hope you learned a thing or two, and I hope that this might have solved a few problems here and there. I'll make sure to throw all of the links that I mentioned in the show notes, in the comments, if you're in the Facebook group. And for anybody listening on the podcast, if you're not in the Facebook group, get your butt in here. Okay. Catch all the live trainings. You can participate in our monthly challenges, win some prizes, and hold yourself accountable in this awesome group of people. And if you want to put all this stuff to use, if you want to learn how to count your calories, macros, and fit it into an overall incredible plan so that you can get really good results and not have to stress over every little thing, that's what coaching's for. So if you're interested in that, go ahead and submit an application for coaching. Again, that'll be in the show notes. And I will get in touch with you real quick. We'll set up a call and we'll see if it's right for you. All right. Thank you guys again for tuning in. I will see you all same time, same place next week. But until then, go kick some ass. I'll see you later.